Coming up on this episode of the Emulate This Podcast. Have you ever played a game and thought to yourself, I don't get what people see in this game, it sucks? Well, you're in luck. We picked out three games that each one of us can't stand, but everyone else seems to love. Then, we're going to talk about a story of a plot of a story that never actually happened. Half-Life 2, Episode 3. And finally, we're going to review Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation. Let's start the show.
Everyone wants like this instant gratification. Right. If people could masturbate in 2 seconds, if there was a machine that where you could masturbate in 2 seconds, people would do it. Yeah. Plug that fucker in and then go to work.
Welcome to Emulate This, Season 2, Episode 4.
If you say so.
Yes, we're all here. Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Mike.
Hola.
And Rory.
Fuck you.
And me, Ryan. Today, we're doing this on a Saturday afternoon.
We are.
Yeah, I like
a matinee.
These shows.
A matinee, if you will.
I enjoy the matinee shows.
I drank a big-ass cup of coffee and listened to some gangster rap on the way
did
over
you
here.
Really?
So I'm all charged up. Yeah.
Pumped up.
Yeah.
Pumped
ready
up.
To go.
Rory, what kind of music were you listening to?
I was listening to Elmo's World before I came over.
Elmo's World.
Yeah. Bubble guppies over here.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, we have small children.
Bubble guppies. Bubble.
Yeah. We have a good show. We're going to do Why Don't I Like This Game, But Everyone Else Does?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We did this once before.
Thought it turned out well.
Yeah, it turned out really well. Later on in the show, we're going to review Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1.
Legendary.
Right.
Sure.
And then we're going to talk some, well, before that, we're going to talk some Half-Life.
There have been some Half-Life news. It's not recent anymore, but that's the nature of a podcast, you know, done in weekly increments. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Half-Life 2, Episode 3, basically being hung out to dry permanently,
right.
It seems.
So, yeah, it's over.
I think it's time to have some words. So we're going to call the segment the eulogy for Half-Life 2, Episode 3.
That's right.
People need to get over the fact that it's over.
Never.
That's right.
I know.
But first, I have some breaking news.
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
Hit it, Mike.
You got it right.
Nice. First time.
Yes. Read the other day.
Listen. Just wait.
Go ahead,
hold on,
Mike,
a second.
Ahead,
that was not the first time I got it right.
No. I mean, you got it right with the first button the first time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, not the first time you got it wrong.
Defensive.
Take my soundboard very, very seriously.
I know.
I read in the news yesterday that apparently Nintendo has filed for some, patents, trademarks, Game Boy related.
Mm.
They might be coming out with a Game Boy Classic.
Game Boy Classic.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be a mini, but it could be the same size as the Game Boy, but with the capability
of 30 lousy games.
Right,
yeah,
right. So, an emulator in a Game Boy case, pretty much.
Seems odd to me. It would have to keep the mobile feel. Because why would I take my Game Boy and then hook it up to the TV?
Yeah.
Like it's a Pi.
Right.
Using a core for one of the handhelds.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Like, that's not what it is supposed to be.
Are they going to leave it the original Game Boy with that green LCD screen? Is it going to be, can you change the way it looks, you know, for Game Boy Advance?
They'll do whatever the cheapest possible thing for them to do because they're chimps.
I'll tell you what, if I have to play it in green and gray, then I better be able to take it wherever the fuck I want. I mean,
why not just get a regular Game Boy?
Right. Well, then you'd have to buy games.
That's true.
You know, and they could probably...
They are surprisingly expensive, some of those
games.
Are
they really?
Yeah.
They're so easy to lose. Nobody kept them. They always get lost or in the attic somewhere.
I never had a Game Boy. Don't care for it.
No?
I had one. I didn't have any games for it.
I liked it. I feel like that's the best way to play Tetris. I'd rather play Tetris on the Game Boy than on the NES.
Yeah. I'd rather play Tetris on a big pile of money with beautiful women.
Okay.
Neat. But I hope they don't
somebody say neat.
Neato. Neato.
I hope they don't shrink it down. I mean, the Game Boy's already small. Just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
They'll probably thin it up because it's, you know, pretty thick because of the battery and stuff like that.
It's not unnecessary.
Yeah, and they don't need a game slot now. Mm-mm. So
I think it's stupid.
I think it's dumb. Yeah, they're better off releasing a Game Boy Hits as a cartridge and pushing that shovelware on their poor victims.
Right.
I feel
making
like
a classic.
To make it as valuable as the other minis, you need to have more than 30 games on it. It feels like they should put Game Boy Color games on there.
There
Game
you
Boy
go. I think that that's what they should do. They should do this, what they're talking about, only with Game Boy Color.
Right. 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 But it would be cool if you could switch it back and forth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why not?
Yeah, but have multiple menus for each of the...
In a year and a half is the 30th anniversary for Game Boy. So it looks like they're getting ready to do this.
God, we're fucking old, man.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I'm young.
I remember getting that Game Boy. It was awesome. It was very exciting.
I never had one.
It was fun, yeah.
Did you have one?
Yeah, I had one, yeah.
You guys... All my friends had it, so I didn't really need one.
Being able to take like your games on, you know, road trips and shit like that with your parents.
Or when you had to go to grandma's house.
There you go.
I did the Tiger Electronics. That's what I had to go on road trips with.
I think I had a couple of those too.
Yeah.
I had the Ninja Turtles one. It was fucking terrible.
Uh huh.
I think I had. Wasn't there a Double
Dragon?
That's the one I had.
Double Dragon.
There's one for everything.
There was.
Street Fighter.
I might have had that one too.
Yeah.
There was one for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
There was one for DuckTales.
Everything.
There was a Mega Man one too.
Mega Man one. Might have been multiple Mega Man ones.
I remember the Batman one. I might have had that too. But yeah.
And the screen would get all scratched up. You couldn't even see it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's on the horizon.
The only thing that sucked about Game Boy back in the day was if you try to like play it in the car in the dark.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Like while you were riding, so you couldn't see it. It wasn't backlit. Yeah. You couldn't see for shit.
That's with the Game Gear.
You're just like waiting for a street light to come by so you can see it.
There was a lot of
motion
blur in the earlier games too.
Yeah. That's true.
But they also, you know, after that was the Game Gear, the Atari Lynx.
Right.
We should do a segment one day. We'll do one on handhelds. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be fun to talk about.
We should maybe just do the, cause I never had any after that generation of games.
That was it.
Yeah, I didn't really bother.
It held up.
Game Gear was really sweet. Black and white. I never had one. My buddy had one.
Yeah, my buddy had one too. So I played a shitload of Game Gear.
They were comfortable. The Game Gear was comfortable holding,
and it looked great too.
But it went through batteries like a motherfucker.
Oh yeah. You know what's weird? I think still the Game Boy like outsold all those newer handhelds. Shitty,
amazing
spinach green Game Boy like would still outsell that shit,
right? Because they didn't try to like do too much with it. Game Gear tried to really put, you know, 16-bit graphics in that.
Yeah, it was because of the battery life in the library that existed for the Game Boy.
And they did it right.
The TurboGrafx-16 had a, I don't remember what it's called, but it was like that. It was like you could play the Hue card games directly in like a player
you
could take on the road with you.
Yeah.
And that's a neat idea, but again, I've never seen one. I've never even seen a TurboGrafx.
All right. Let's get to the Odyssey, guys. On this matinee, high atop Easton Road in Horsham. All right, Rory, kick off the Odyssey.
Well, I've been playing Gears of War Ultimate on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Have you completely given up on Dark Souls 3?
It's definitely on the way back burner.
Okay.
Like, it's in my neighbor's... It's on my neighbor's oven. Like, that's how far back...
Hold on to this. Do not give it to me, even if I ask.
It's in his neighbor's trash can.
Just wondering. Go ahead.
It, yeah, I don't care. You will not get a Dark Souls update for a while, believe me. All right. I'll beat him like one episode, the first boss, and I'll be like, I have breaking news. I beat him. And Eric's like, well, what'd you do next? I'll be like, oh, I turned it off. Turned it off and I played another game.
I died to the second boss for 6 hours.
Yeah. I'll be like, you know, the president. I'll declare victory even though we haven't done anything and I'll walk away. That's what I'll do. I'll have a banner that says mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
That's right. I'll wear a flight suit that day.
Sweet.
Nice.
We'll look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. So Gears of War Ultimate is the, I don't want to say it's an HD remake. It's like, it's definitely more graphically, pretty, I guess you would say. I think it's beyond 720. Playing it, damn, you know, it looks better from what I remember, but the game and the mechanics are very janky. Like that, you could tell it's the first Gears of War game.
Yeah, they always were.
It's like they didn't really work out the story or the mechanics. Like, you know what really drives me nuts is from, I think, 2 on, the chainsaw machine gun is flawless, like, in between kills. So you can just hold down the B button.
Right.
and kill guy to guy to guy.
Goes
you're
into
invincible.
An animation where you're invincible. Yeah,
and you're invincible during the animation. Mm. Not in one, and not in the remake of one. No. So actually, using the chainsaw, if you're surrounded by wretches, is one of the worst things you can do. Because you're taking damage the whole time.
Yeah, as much as I like the Gears games, they're still a little awkward as far as the cover system's concerned. You know,
sure, when you dedicate everything to one button.
Yeah, every time I want to hide behind something, I wind up fucking jumping over it. That's annoying as shit.
Something about the movement of the screen drives me up the wall, and it kind of gives me a headache after a while.
Oh, the roadie run is definitely
bounces around.
Yeah.
Could have done without that.
I like it. I'm having fun with it. I'm on the fourth level now, the fourth chapter. I've noticed it's very... I don't remember the original one being this buggy.
Hmm.
And by buggy, I mean like the AI of my partner Dom is beyond... He's retarded. He like... Yeah. Do you remember the end, like the boss fight for the first level? You have to run from the berserker. You're in a building and you have to like get the berserker's attention. You have to have him bash doors and get outside and hit him with a hammer at dawn.
Yep.
Dom, for whatever reason, my AI partner, okay, because I have no friends.
No
friends. Okay, Mike, play it.
Well, I don't have any friends.
Thank you. I should have called that guy.
I know where that button is.
Yeah.
That's his favorite button.
It's very hockey.
It's K, by the way.
Yeah. Long story short, he kept just standing in front of the berserker. And the berserker would run him over and immediately kill him.
And then you had to go get him up.
I did that last scene, scene five of act one for an hour of Dom getting run over and killed because it's very tight corners.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're in a small, you're in like a coat, a coat room, like chasing this guy who's invincible.
Right.
And he wouldn't move. So Dom just sat there and was like, Jesus. It's like ridiculous when you think about it in real life. Imagine there's like an invincible monster in the room with you.
Uh-huh.
And the monster's just like walking around looking at the wall. Like you're like in an art gallery. He's like looking at the art being like, oh, blah, blah, I'm a monster. And Dom is sitting right next to him being like, I'm an idiot too.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's like they're all like on a coffee break or something.
Yeah.
So I eventually, through like dumb luck, I got Dom to get the fuck out of the way, and then we went through the doors and I killed him. But I did that one scene for an hour. I almost gave up on the game. Jeez. I was like, I can't deal with this stupid AI.
Damn.
Mike, how about you?
So, Halloween Fest is continuing. I am continuing with Alan Wake. I'm almost done that. But I started, Castlevania 3, which I've played before.
Mm-hmm.
A shitload.
Never heard of it.
I know. It's one of those obscure titles.
Sure.
Right? This is my white whale of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot fucking beat this fucker, so I feel like I'm doing it this year.
All right. How far?
By Halloween, I'm gonna have this fucker beat.
You're gonna beat it on Halloween?
We have odds.
Save the date. I know, I'm wondering if I can actually fucking do it. You know what I'm doing this time around? I'm playing as like all four like characters. Now you can't do it all at the same time, right, but like, so it's kind of nice where it's up in the replay value. So if I'm dying a shitload of times, I'll turn it off and then I'll come back. It's like, all right, well, I'll come back as Grant or something like that.
You have to be Alucard. Alucard is the one that cheeses everything. You really need to be Alucard. He's in easy mode.
Yeah, but Sypha's got those electric spells though that kill. Like
she's got the hardest levels.
Well, eventually, yeah, but the hardest levels are in the castle. That fucking tower.
Sure.
Oh my god! And then the causeway with the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're the bat, you can
it's ridiculous. Yeah. There's the stacking blocks.
Sure.
That I rage quit on there about four times.
Mm.
Because you can't with Alucard if you're the bat and you fly up and you're going to get ahead. If a block falls on you, you turn back to Alucard and you fall the fuck down. It's a fucking hard game, man.
Are you starting this over every time you play it, or are you stating?
No. You can use. I'm playing on a cartridge. Oh, you can use a. No,
that's right. You're on a cartridge.
Yeah. But you can use the different because if you use like different names.
Yeah.
You know how you have to put your name in.
Mm.
So help I got different me. Names. Right. I got Alucard, Grant. And
my name's always Help Me for 10 lives or something.
The Grant guy. The game I'm playing with Grant. I used Help Me.
Yeah.
Everything else is the regular three lives. But with Sypha, I'm up to the penultimate level.
Mm. Oh, the penultimate. Oh, now clarify what that means for me.
No, you didn't. You don't remember? You don't remember penultimate?
I remember penultimate.
Why don't you share us?
What does penultimate mean?
All right.
Don't do that.
Second
to
from the left.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Spike
I read
football.
A dictionary.
Nice.
I read a dictionary. So, I'm up to there. It's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a fucking bitch. It's a hard fucking game.
I gotta get into that. I have played it, but not in a long time.
I would actually recommend playing the first one.
Oh, no.
Getting the mechanics down.
Yeah.
And then go into this one because it's just rampant.
Right.
The first level in this game, they throw at you Medusa heads, the flea men, and like those bone pillar things. Uh-huh. You don't experience them until like the second or third level.
I believe there's spinning blocks too.
Yes. Yeah. So even the first level like is tough. I mean, once you get it down, it's pretty easy, but it's a hard fucking game.
We're going to talk more about this game on the horizon.
Yes.
Next, towards the end of the month, around Halloween, right?
Top 10 games to play on Halloween, mm-hmm. something like that.
It might pop up then.
Sure, some sort of Castlevania game will make an appearance.
I'm sure. Eric. All right.
So I've been playing, and Rory lent me, Stardew Valley when I'm not getting my ass punched in at Cuphead.
Uh-huh.
You can only take so much Cuphead, and then you have to stop. And I need to go, like, farm. Okay? I need to go water my fucking plants, and I need to fucking chop some
chill
trees down.
Out.
I need to build a fence. It's very relaxing. The music is great. It's if anybody doesn't know what it's about, it's basically Harvest Moon without like a lot of the bullshit. Like Harvest Moon has some annoying parts, like especially the loading. Like it doesn't load at all.
What system?
It's instantaneous. I think you get it for anything. I'm playing it on Xbox One. Just came out for the Switch the other day, I think. But I think you get it on PC. You can get it. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if you couldn't get it on PS3 and Xbox 360.
I don't believe it's on PS3 or Xbox 360.
Oh, okay. No. What they added from Harvest Moon is there's combat now. There's mines you go into, and you got to kill shit in there. And it's a little awkward.
Can you name everything, like Harvest Moon?
Can I name?
You give everything names.
Yeah, I name all my animals. Like, I don't think, maybe a fat cunt and stupid cunt. And those are my cows. And my chickens is cocksucker and cocksmoker. Anyway, so you let me do that, and I'm going to act like a child. Uh-huh. You know that.
Sure.
Like a 15-year-old.
I wouldn't expect anything more out of you.
Thank you, Rory. Don't have high expectations, all right? I got chickens. I go grab the eggs, and then I milk the cows, and I make cheese and mayonnaise. Like, and this is how I unwind from getting my ass kicked at Cuphead. But it's addicting. You'd be surprised. Yeah. It seems stupid. It's like, wow, this sounds like the most boring game in the world. But once you get into it, it's like, you want to talk about hoarding, Mike. Oh, my God. I have 15 chests in my house.
Beautiful.
And each one of them holds different things.
Mayo.
There you go.
It's insane. I have one whole chest just for mayonnaise. But it's fun. It's a little hoarding game and very relaxing, soothing. The music's great. And it go through all four seasons and shit. And depending on the season, you can grow different shit.
And I'm sorry, what is this called again?
Different fish. Stardew Valley, it's called.
Okay.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's it.
All right. I do not have a game to talk about because I've been playing this week. I've been playing Symphony of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, getting ready for the review.
Big review.
It's a great game, but we'll talk about it later on.
We will.
You guys ready for the why don't I like this game, but everyone else does?
Surely.
All right. Let's get into it.
Can we have like a better title for that segment?
It's convoluted.
I think we need a better title.
It's convoluted. Is this a hypothetical segment?
Am I taking crazy pills, isn't it, or something?
Am I taking crazy pills?
There you go.
Basically, the theme for this is, you know, obvious. What was in the title?
Games.
Why?
What I just said. That's the theme.
Yeah, exactly. There's not much to talk about there. It's self-explanatory. Mike, you can go first.
My game is Duck Hunt.
Hmm. Everyone like Duck Hunt?
No.
Wow.
We all grew up with. You guys had the Atari, right?
Yeah.
You and then you had the Intellivision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had about like 10 games on the Atari. And I'm going to say maybe 9 of them were single screen games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when the NES came out and I played Mario Brothers for the first time, that was the first game I played on the NES.
Okay.
And you had this huge open world with fucking secrets everywhere. And you could go down fucking pipes and then come back out and you're in the same war. It was
like a cartoon.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was like a cartoon.
Yeah.
So then you put Duck Hunt on. And it's the one screen again.
Right. You know, fucking ducks.
Why am I doing this? And then the
blaster gun.
Yeah, you got to use the gun, man.
It didn't do anything for me, though. That gun, I don't know.
It was inaccurate.
The accuracy was kind of there. But there were times where you would walk up to the screen. Everyone's done this.
Yeah.
You walk up to the screen. You put the gun right up to the screen.
Yeah.
And you're following the duck around. You're shooting it. It's fucking not dying. Why ain't the duck dying?
Right.
And then after that, it just starts over again.
The dog giggles.
About the dog. That dog giggles and it's like smirky.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like this smirky giggle. And everyone knows that the Duck Hunt dog is an asshole.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's not like in Punch Out. If you lose to Bald Bull or Soda Popinski, they come up to you and they're like, ha!
Mm-hmm.
Ha! They're fucking laughing in your face.
Yeah.
The Duck Hunt dog, like, he kind of like hides his mouth a little bit. Yeah. And he's like,
Yeah, but shouldn't the dog be on your side? He's your fucking dog. You took him duck hunting.
Yeah.
And he's gonna laugh at me.
And he's laughing in my face. And it's like, it's not my fault. I'm hitting the, I hit the duck and the dog has the balls to get up and laugh at me.
Maybe he's not your dog.
It's so frustrating. It's my dog.
He could be a rental.
He could be.
It does. That's even worse. Where's customer service?
He's like
then?
A caddy, but of duck
I don't know.
Then I need customer service. Yeah.
Everybody,
and I'm not getting customer service.
But what about the clay
service?
Shooting game?
It's the same thing.
I still like
just,
that more.
The whole problem I had with Duck Hunt is I rarely played it because it was just, I just thought it was boring. It's just one screen. There's just, I felt like after playing Mario Brothers, I just felt like there was a whole bunch of other shit to look at. And why am I wasting my time? Just staring at one screen I'll play an Atari game.
Yeah.
It's gimmicky.
It's more of a bonus game than itself.
Yeah.
But when you go on and you look at lists, like top 20 NES lists, it's always there because I think it was on its own cartridge at the beginning and then they paired it with Mario Brothers.
Well, you know what it is.
Am I right? Right or wrong on that?
I added it on. It was paired
with
Mario Brothers. I never saw it alone.
But I'm not saying that it never was, but I've never seen it.
Because I thought it was its own launch title when it first came out.
It may be. We had the dual cart. I don't know.
Think so. I had the dual cart as well.
Maybe not in America.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to research that. But
I think it's ranked high because if you look at how many games came out for the Light Gun, it was probably the best game that came out for the Light Gun.
I think there was only like five or something like that.
You know? Yeah.
But you know, the Light Gun was nothing. You know, the first Odyssey had a Light Gun. And there was another console that had it looked like a real gun. And there was another console that was like in a triangular shape, and it used triangular cartridges. Mm. I forget what this thing was called. And on one side there was a steering wheel, and then on the other side there was a fucking gun, and it had a holster that you stuck on it.
The fuck was that?
So it's not like the Light Gun was anything revolutionary.
Yeah,
you know.
All right, suck it, Nintendo.
Fuck Duck Hunt or whatever.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Eric, how about you?
Well, I'm going to pick, and it's not really a retro game, I'm going to pick Overwatch. Got to be the most popular multiplayer first-person shooter right now. I love the online. I love Halo. I love Call of Duty. I like Battlefield. I like all that stuff. I like playing it online. This one just bored the shit out of me, and I'm not sure why. There's like 27 characters, and got a huge competitive following, and every character has their own, you know, strengths, but that's all they have.
They also have a role.
A role?
Like Team Fortress, like guys that are shields, guys that are snipers.
It's role based, like an MMORPG. Yeah. It's role based. Like, you have certain guys performing different acts and all, but I couldn't get into it at all. I don't understand. I don't know why so many people like it.
Do you feel like it's already been done when you play it?
Not really. I just don't think it's my thing. My main issue is there's all these characters and I'm like switching between six of them. Why can't I find one I like? You know, they're all different, and I don't know. I just can't get into this game. I don't understand. Everyone loves it.
When it came out, I mean, it was a big. I remember seeing advertisements.
It is.
It literally killed all the other ones.
Yeah, when it launched, it really hit hard. But
you know, there's no customization other than the skins. It's not like I can pick multiple different grenades or I can pick multiple different weapons.
Yeah,
it's everybody has the same. You know, each guy has set attacks, and that's it.
I haven't played this one, Rory. Have you played it?
I have never played it, but I understand what the game is. Like,
yeah.
I don't really like those types of games. Like the ones where it's just basically deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't find that to be fun.
It's very repetitive. I don't know how people can continue to play it. But like I said, usually, you know, I should be able to find a character that I like and keep using that character. And I can't do that. I'm just juggling between characters. There's something about every character I don't like.
So they all have like a huge flaw or like a gap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's like, you know, but if you did play your role, I guess it's better. I don't like doing that.
Okay.
I don't like, I have to go around and heal everyone if I'm this character, and I might as well not even shoot.
I heal people. Oh, you got to run around and do
well,
that.
Well, certainly, like, Mercy's a healer. Certain of the players are healers. Yeah, right. And it's like, your gun is okay, but it's not really strong because you're not really meant to shoot everyone.
Yeah.
You're meant to be a healer, and you don't have to play that way. But it just gets redundant to me. I'm just surprised that it has, I don't know whether it's because it's made by Blizzard. It just has this huge following, and I don't know. It doesn't make me mad. Like, the last one of these we did, Metal Gear Solid 5, that makes me mad that people talk about that like it's a 10 out of 10 game. It's just not in any form. This doesn't make me mad. It just, I just don't get it. Everyone loves it, and I love multiplayer online shooters, and it was only built as that. It's not like, you know, it doesn't have a single player, and it's not supposed to.
Okay.
So I don't dislike it for that, but I think it definitely could have done with a single player mode for sure.
Okay.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Rory.
We're going to get a lot of nasty time letters about crazy that pills. One.
About that one? Yeah.
People love Overwatch.
People love Overwatch. I just don't get it. But like I said, I don't begrudge them for liking it. And I don't, you know, even if you wanted to call that game a 10 out of 10, I'd still look at you crooked, but at least I could stomach that. It's not like Metal Gear Solid 5, which is a fucking 6 out of 10 tops. That still makes me mad. I fucking hate that shit.
At what it does, it's good, but I don't like what it does.
That's a good way to put it. Right, right. It's good at what it does, but I don't understand how it doesn't get repetitive for you.
Absolutely.
You
know,
all you can do is change your fucking clothes. Hmm. Who fucking cares?
No, I don't care about that.
Fucking cares.
I don't care about that.
No.
I have breaking news.
Oh.
Go ahead. Mike, breaking news.
You can get Duck Hunt on a cartridge.
All by itself.
Just by itself.
How about it?
Are there like 10 copies and they're like $5,000 a piece?
Back to you.
All right. $12.99. Oh, okay. That's a deal.
Big seller.
Excellent. Rory. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's
okay,
your turn.
Perfect. So I'm going to talk about a series that I don't understand why everybody likes, where it's so famous. I'm going to shit on Golden Axe. I really don't like Golden Axe, any of the Golden Axes. Golden Axe is best described as dull. It's dull. Ladies and gentlemen, it's
I agree
dull.
With you.
What is it?
Golden Axe.
But it was early.
What is it?
It was an early game.
It's a brawler.
No, never mind. It's dull?
Dull.
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 Dull. D-U-L-L.
Dull.
Thank you.
What the fuck is happening?
Things got weird.
Things got really weird. Mike started taking his shirt off. It was weird. Golden Axe is pretty clunky. It's very slow. Really slow. Like, when you play that game, be prepared to wait. You can pretty much play Golden Axe with one hand. That's how, and then for a brawler, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. And it's tedious. It's so tedious. And it's tedious because of the AI in the game. The game is not about punching. Say, like, Streets of Rage, again, the quintessential beat 'em up, is so deep with the grapple moves and the different grapple moves you can do. You can do a backwards, a forward. Sometimes they have a no motion, like Blaze with her slam on the ground if you don't hit any direction. None of that's in Golden. You can't grab anybody in Golden Axe.
No, you can't.
It's only chopping people. And a lot of that animation, again, is so...
Very choppy.
Slow. Right. Oh, my God. It's slow as shit.
Well, I mean, it's a very old game. What was the first Golden Axe?
It hasn't aged well.
It had to be like 1 and 2 were in the arcades.
Mid-80s, yeah.
It had its day where it's the only game you wanted to run to. Everybody wanted to run to it. Now, it's even by brawler standards, some of those games hold up. This one doesn't.
But it never really got better as it went along. Do you know what I mean? They really stuck to the same kind of thing.
The same formula.
No, they continually fucked it up. They could have made it more like Streets of Rage, and they chose not to for some reason. What you end up doing in Golden Axe, and the bad guys do it too, is they just dash you constantly. That's all you can really do is just double tap forward and hit them with attack. And you end up just smacking people, like running into them. And that's fucking boring. Like... That's dodgeball. That's not a fighting game.
Right.
That's terrible.
We played it. We just stopped playing.
I love dodgeball.
It's boring. Yeah. I wish you were playing dodgeball. Now, Super Dodgeball, that's a great game.
Yeah, it's very primitive, that game.
You know what else is really slow about that game? Is in between levels, you have to beat gnomes that steal from you.
Yeah.
Like, how boring is that? Just give me the magic and let me move on to the next fucking level and get this disaster over with. The game is basically like a big waiting room with nothing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never gets better.
It's empty.
There's no
I never go... All right, if I suck it up for this part, there's a good stage after. It's just ugly and slow. And it's too one-sided.
Yeah.
So, Golden Axe, you're getting flushed.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
1989, by the way. I looked it up. It was
89? Yeah, that's right.
Later than I thought.
There's three of them. Yeah. Well,
that's the first one. 1989.
There's a reimagining. Well, the first one's by far the worst.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reimagining of, on the 360 and the PS3 called Golden Axe Warrior, I think.
Did you try it?
No, it's like a, I don't want to say it's open world, but it's like a 3D, it's terrible.
Mm.
Terrible.
All right. Well, mine isn't any specific game. It's just, shooters. Now, I don't mind shooters like Call of Duty.
Here we go. Changing the rules.
And Battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay. I like, you know, the campaigns and stuff like that.
First person shooters.
First person shooters.
Plane based shooters.
Yeah. Not shoot 'em ups. No, first person shooters, right? Like Call of Duty. Battlefield. Okay. What I don't like, and what it's not that I don't like it, I just never really got into it, the online play of the games. Battlefield, the campaigns are fun. Rory and I played them.
I don't think so.
They're fun. I think
we played them. They're not fun.
I think Call of Duty's fun. I even like the old Medal of Honor games.
Yeah.
You know, for PS2 and stuff like that. They were great games, right. But I like that campaign. And
they're also new at that
time.
They
look great.
At that time, they were fresh.
Oh, yeah, that was like leading it off. But I don't understand the online stuff where, and I know everyone likes it. It just doesn't grab me where you rank up and you get better and you become obsessed with just being better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To be honest with you, I really don't give a fuck if I'm better at a game than a total stranger.
Right.
I don't know what the payoff is there. And I know a lot of people love it. I just don't dig it. I just don't, you know what I mean? Are you into this stuff?
I am. I like them all. Like I was saying with, I don't like Overwatch and I don't know why I don't like Overwatch because I love first person online shooters. And if I love all these other ones like Call of Duty, you know, what makes Overwatch different? And I think I nailed it on my, I was spaced out a little bit on my turn there, but.
Is it specifically the online play that you don't like?
It's the online stuff that I just don't, it doesn't grab me.
But playing a campaign of those specific games, I like the games.
Yeah, I like the games. I
mean, campaigns are awesome.
Look great. They're really fun. They're intense campaigns.
There's all kinds of different gadgets they give you.
Yeah, but the online.
I
would like it better if it was more mission based, where you grab people online. You know, maybe six of you go through a game. You know, almost like a campaign.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point. They don't make like a campaign esque multiplayer game. Like instead of like everybody, you're on A team and you're on the B team and shoot each other.
Right.
Why don't they just say everybody's on the A team, now try to take this fort?
Well, they do have that. They have They have capture the flag.
But that's against other people.
Yeah, what are you trying
to do? They don't have like an online co-op for a mission.
Kind of like a Red Dead thing.
So
kinda.
How they did it online.
Yeah, exactly like the Outlaws to the End.
You could only really have a small group of people, and that's not what those games. Those games are about
big rooms.
16 on 16 or 32 on 32.
You have to program bots and intelligence. Like it's easier just to have human beings shoot human beings.
It'd be hard to come up with something like that for 32 people or even 16 people that all go at the so you and three of your friends, that'd be a different story. But for those games aren't about that. But there should be a game where you do that. You're right.
It seems odd that there isn't.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to trademark it, so don't you dare fucking copy it, you piece of shit.
I promise Activision isn't listening.
Yeah.
All right, since you play this, and the people that really like these games are really dedicated, and they play them for hours upon hours upon hours. Stay up till 3 in the morning when they should be going to bed.
Yep.
So, when you play this, are you playing it because you really love the game? Do you actually want to be better than everybody else?
Yes.
That's why you're playing it. That's your motivation.
I do not like other people to beat me at anything.
Okay. I don't like other people.
I don't like other people either. I am a misanthrope for sure.
All right.
I don't even like any of you, and you're my friends. It's funny because in a team deathmatch, it's supposed to be a team thing. And as long as our team wins, I'm not supposed to care about how good I did. But I want to be the guy that led the team to victory.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? For whatever reason. Yeah. And that's just, I've always been into that with the Call of Duties and the Battlefields. I don't know. That's a motivation for me for sure.
Okay. To have the best kill death ratio. Different perspective than I am.
Yeah, I look at it through my kill death ratio. Like, how many times how many guys did I kill versus how many times I died? Even if I didn't get the top score on the team, because that is the way to determine who is best at the game.
Well, one of my brothers really used to get sucked into this stuff and, you know, he got really good. So when he got into a room, he was usually the top guy all the time. But that's a lot of playing.
Sure. You know? It takes practice. You have to know the maps. Yeah. You know, you get guys that just play on the weekend and they come in there and you just beat the shit out of them because they barely know the maps.
Right.
I don't have time for that shit anymore. I did when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to fucking learn every freaking corner, every map. And
now you got to make mayonnaise now.
I got farming to do.
Milk cows, make mayonnaise.
God damn.
Hoard the eggs.
I'm making jelly now, cranberry jelly. It's going to be a delight. It's an artisan.
It's an artisan jelly.
Yes.
Nice.
I like that.
Yes.
Seasonal thing, huh?
Seasonal.
You got to get that can before artisan. The winter, man.
That's your penultimate project.
Your
penultimate project is to make the artisan jelly.
I'm dabbling in artisan jelly as my penultimate project.
Is this the jelly genre?
Genre.
Is that a French way to say it?
Right.
That's our motel.
I feel like I'm taking crazy
All right, guys,
pills.
Let's move on.
You were done, right?
Yes, okay. I was finished. Let's move on. Let's get into Half-Life. And the story behind something that never happened.
How appropriate. So, I absolutely love the Half-Life franchise, and it really just bums me out.
That's so sad.
I'm not the only person that feels like this.
Here, Roy, do a line.
Maybe in the Jesus.
I know, seriously. It really does. Long story short, about a month or maybe closer to 2 months ago, because, you know, we're so topical.
Yeah.
One of the writers at Valve who worked on the Half-Life series, he's probably the main one, but not like the only one. A man named Mark Laidlaw, he basically released on his own blog through like, I guess it's because of non-disclosure agreements and, like copyright infringement. He like fudged the names of the characters and released a story that said what the plot would have been for Half-Life 2 Episode 3. We all know about 10 years ago or 15.
What, the first one?
When did Half-Life 2 Episode 2 end?
13, I think. 13 years ago.
13 years ago. It ends on a cliffhanger, more or less. And you're like, well, that was fucking awesome. What's next? And now you're waiting 13 years later in limbo, and they still have not. Valve still hasn't released any information about what they're doing, if anything.
What, about Half-Life 2?
Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
Or Half-Life 3.
Or at least Half-Life 3, just to close out the arc.
Sure. Gabe came out and said, we should have named Half-Life 2 Episode 1 Half-Life 3.
Sure, of course.
It's what he said. And then the second one would be Episode 2 of Half-Life 3.
Sure.
They're done with it. They can't release another one, and mostly because there's so much hype behind it at this point that it could never meet expectations.
I'll grant you that there's quite a bit of hype, but you know what? Here's my thoughts on this.
It's a meme. It's a ridiculous amount of hype.
Here's my thoughts on this. I don't care what they release. Just release something. And I think the majority of people are with me when they don't care a much. It doesn't have to be this groundbreaking game that uses VR and, like, you know, that masturbation machine Mike was talking about. It's not necessary. Okay.
I love that masturbation machine.
Just finish the arc. Like, just finish the story. And if you want to stop it from there or have that on a cliffhanger, just move the fucking story along. All right. I need to know what happens.
Is this story, this plot, was this something that was done 10 years ago, or is this a recent thing that he came up
with? Well, it's my understanding through the grapevine that this is what he was trying to get pushed, and Valve kept saying, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow.
It's a lot of tomorrows.
Yeah. For like the better part of 15 years, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. And it never got released.
Right.
The gist of the story is, I won't summarize all of Half-Life. The gist of the story is, they find the Borealis ship. It's in Antarctica. And then, Gordon Freeman and Alex Vance decide, well, we're going to go there. They go there, and then they run into, Dr. Breen, who's like the head of the Combine Earth America, you know, like coalition. Like, they work together. He's like a defector, and he runs into him, but he's in like a slug form at the end of the game. The last one, and Gordon kills him. Although it's not really elaborated how he kills him. Right. But he regrets becoming a slug, which I would too.
Sure.
They get onto the Borealis. They fight. Again, these would have been levels. You get on the Borealis. You fight your way through the Borealis with Alex. Eventually, you get to a point where Dr. Mossman is there, and Alex are arguing about what to do with the Borealis. You know, Dr. Mossman wants to use the Borealis as a weapon against the Combine. Alex disagrees. Alex ends up killing Dr. Mossman, which would have been fucking awesome to watch.
Pretty cool.
Kills her. And then they decide, or she decides, because Gordon doesn't talk, that they're going to use the Borealis as a weapon and blow it the fuck up so the Combine can't get it. The Borealis basically is they invented. It's funny. The Borealis is from Aperture, so that's from Portal. Mm-hmm. So again, Valve is really funny like that. The Portal universe exists in the Half-Life universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Aperture, the rival to Black Mesa, has made a ship that can teleport, but not just between spaces, but between time and apparently dimensions. So on the Borealis, they go through like this weird, trippy, like 2001 Space Odyssey space travel thing, and they can see the past, the present, and the future.
Oh,
excellent. Wow. Very simple. How space baby.
He said 2001. I had to.
More or less, they go on a suicide mission to take the Borealis into the heart of the Combine, and at the last second, the G-Man, who nobody knows what he really is. He's definitely some type of alien. Right. Steals Alex. He talks to Alice and takes her out of reality, which he does. And then it leaves our hero, Gordon, like about to die with the Borealis that may or may not matter, sacrificing himself. And then the Vortigaunts come, the good aliens. And then they save him at the last second, and they put him into another type of a holding place, just like at the end of Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. And it ends on a cliffhanger again.
Well, doesn't it suck that now you know the whole story? Yeah. So if the game came out, what's the point?
It won't now.
It's not coming out.
That's the reason. And Valve hasn't confirmed that this is the story, but it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, why shouldn't we believe the guy? And that's just another reason to believe.
Does he not work for Valve anymore?
No, he does not.
He's like one of the... Yeah, okay.
Valve doesn't really... Well, I shouldn't say Valve doesn't make games. Valve's working on, like, basically just working on VR games right now, which I think is an insulting waste of their talent.
Mm.
But they make so much money on Steam, they don't have to make games. Right.
They don't have to do shit. They literally make
CS:GO,
like billions through, fucking,
yeah,
not billions, but they probably make close to a billion, like
yeah,
in
Dota 2 and CS:GO,
and just running the Steam platform.
Fucking crazy.
They don't need the money.
So what's the point of him coming out with this?
Because fans, after 10 plus years, want to know what was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
I still, to this day, if they said Half-Life 2 Episode 3 will be released, I'll never put in money for a pre-order. Mm. I'll put in money for a fucking pre-order. I don't even care if it's good. I don't care if they even use all the assets from the original Half-Life 2. I don't care. Yeah. I just want to finish Half-Life.
Yeah.
I just want to finish it. Mm. I love the universe. I love the story. I love the characters.
You read the ending. You finished it. It's over.
I never finished
Everybody
it.
Needs to just accept
to
it.
To quote John Rambo.
You need to come to terms.
Nothing is over.
Well done.
All
right.
There's your first blood, not me.
That's right.
Sad.
Moving on. All right, guys. Time for the game review.
This is scary. I don't like it.
It's creepy. We'll get to that scene. Oh, yes. I love this song. It's a great song.
I like the Lenovo remix, too.
Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1 came out in March 20th, 1997.
Wow.
I think I run into this game when I was younger.
That's incredible, 1997.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Man, wow. Flies. We'll get to it, but it totally holds up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, it plays awesome, yeah.
I run into this game, I think, but you know, a two-night rental when you're a kid isn't going to do it with this game.
No.
So I never really got into it. Other than this week, and that's what I've been playing this week. That's right. Why I didn't do the Odyssey. So I have a few nights into it. It's a continuation of what Rondo of Blood, correct?
Well, the actual name for the TurboGrafx-16 Japanese exclusive is Akumajiro Dracula X Chino Rondo.
Okay.
Oh wow,
that's very fancy.
In America,
yeah. So anyway, there we go.
We dubbed the game in America Dracula X, but that's actually. Yeah. The name of a Super Nintendo port of that game that has been butchered horribly.
Right.
Mm. It's called Vampire's Kiss for Super Nintendo in the PAL regions.
Hmm. Cool. So anyway, the game starts out, okay?
So, Rory, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, kill yourself.
So, go eat a jar of artisan jelly.
The game starts out. You're Alucard.
It's in the penultimate chest to the left.
Right.
That's right.
Penultimate chest, right next to the above the artisan. Right?
I'm sorry.
The game starts out. You're Alucard. Uh-huh. You know, you're kicking ass, man. You're running through the game. The music's pumping you up. You're killing the big foxes, or not foxes. The
wolves.
Big wolves,
werewolves. Mm-hmm.
And you finally get to
death.
Yeah. He's a skeleton, basically in a hoodie, mm-hmm. and he takes all your shit.
Yep.
Right.
Zombie.
He's the servant of Dracula.
In all the
so
games.
Anyway, yeah, he takes all your shit. And now you're left with basically nothing.
And he's an asshole in all the games.
Yeah, on the open
death
floor of the
game. Death is a dick. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
You know? God. Yeah.
So he doesn't want you to fuck up the castle and destroy it. So he, you know, obviously takes all your shit. And then basically you guide your way through the castle. It's similar to Super Metroid or one of the Metroid games.
Mm-hmm. Which is how they got the term Metroidvania.
Yeah. Yeah. Exploration.
Well, mm-hmm.
Search, find stuff,
yeah,
figure out what to do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
So
yeah.
It was a drag for a few hours.
Uh-huh.
Easily. Because I have nothing.
Right.
All right.
You get a little dagger at first, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't really pick up until you fight the doppelganger, which is you. And it took me, when I first fought him, I thought I wasn't ready. I'm like, you know, something, he just overpowered
me. Doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And then eventually I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I just really have to fight this dude because I can't find anything to beat
him
with.
Holy water, holy water, holy water.
Tried it, but he jumped around too much.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
So I had to get the throwing daggers.
Because
he was using throwing daggers. So eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going to show up with throwing daggers.
Yeah.
And just try to block and get. What's that?
He doesn't use whatever you have.
No.
Like, if you are equipped with daggers, he won't. So he just uses daggers. Like, if you're equipped with holy water, he doesn't use holy water.
No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't. Not to me.
Okay.
But anyway, you fight him almost like a Mega Man boss. It's almost like you're fighting. I don't know. Who
takes
throws
a lot
shit?
Longer to kill than Mega Man boss.
You just
want to
avoid him. You just want to jump around, jump
There's
under him.
There's literally a Mega
block.
Man boss where you fight yourself.
Is there?
A couple times.
In one and three. That battle, it's similar just to a Mega Man boss itself. It's just the style. You're going to take hits.
It cramped up in that small
that's
room.
That's why I asked, because not to go back, but in Mega Man, if you go in there with Fireman, he changes to Fireman. That's why I was.
Oh, I know what you're saying. If that's the case, I didn't pick up on it. But anyway, after you beat him, that's when the game kind of opens up a little bit. It's almost like an RPG. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where you level up.
Level up, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You get experience points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You Health save points. Money. So you go to the library and buy shit off that old guy.
Yep.
So it is like an RPG.
He's a librarian.
librarian.
It has a lot of different genres thrown into it. And the Metroidvania thing, I mean, that's, they really perfected that in this game.
Well, it started there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they fucking perfected it on the first game. Mm-hmm. You know, you go mm-hmm. to, you go into a room and you can't get to a certain place in the room. And it's like, fuck, how am I going to get up there? And part of that is what's great about these games for me.
Right.
Especially this game is how the fuck am I going to get up into that hole? And mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what's up in there. And mm-hmm. that's what keeps me going with these games. And I think it's a, it's just a great development strategy.
How long have I'm you been playing it at this point?
I have like, oh man. See, I'm using no guide or anything. The first night I played for like 5 hours, and it's a lot of just trying to figure out what's what. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not using a guide to tell me what does what, other than the menu itself. When you get an item, you go over top and it gives you like a brief like description of what the hell it does.
It also tells you their stats go up
yeah.
and down.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's it. So you've never played, you just said you messed around with it as a kid.
Yeah.
So is it like, but is it completely holding your attention at this point?
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't like, well, I liked it at first, then I didn't like it when I lost all my shit. And now I am sucked the fuck into
really?
It.
Really?
Like, yeah. When
you're going to keep playing it.
Yeah. When I'm going to sit down and play, I have to make sure I have enough time
sure.
to like really get sucked into
it. I heard this was the first shooter ever made. Oh.
But the reason why I also really like it, they didn't fuck it up. They didn't try to do some wonky PS1 3D type of thing. They stuck to the 2D.
They stuck with the sprites.
Yes, and you know what? Yeah. That's what Castlevania is best at that.
Yeah. Timeless.
As soon as they went to the 3D bullshit on the N64, it was garbage.
Yep.
They actually recycled. This is actually part two. Again, we said that of the TurboGrafx-16 game. They recycled, I don't know the percentage, but it's damn near like 90% of the sprites. Mm-hmm. Still holds up. I mean, the game absolutely. Still looks great.
Yeah. It looks amazing. And the music is so awesome.
Oh, it's the best.
There's different genres.
Genres.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of music. I mean, there's rock, jazz.
Yeah, it's jazzy. It's all like a stuff. Dark religious, yeah. like a oh, dark religious awesome, tone. It's
at the beginning, jazzy, there's that funky. Like that chanty
yeah.
kind of, that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I don't ever pay attention to the music in a game, really, because I'm so busy trying not to get killed that I hardly ever recognize the music, but every time you go into a different area, the music is badass. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's fucking awesome. The one of the Coliseum is my favorite.
Okay.
I forget the fucking name of it.
How far is that into the game?
It might be like halfway through.
Okay.
Maybe a little further than halfway through. I forget the name of it, but it's fucking awesome. I would listen to that in my car. When I know you always say you listen to music like in your car. I'm like, Ryan's out of his fucking mind.
It's the type of music you can.
And
when you pull up the menus for the first time, it's like, holy shit. Oh, dude, there's so much shit. Mm-hmm. So as you move on, figuratively speaking, do the menus feel like they get like a little smaller where like you can navigate them a little
you
better?
You get way more comfortable.
You stick with a loadout and you don't go back.
No.
Like, you're never going to downgrade your shit. You're only going to go up.
Right.
Right.
So it fills up.
You just leaving. Yeah.
A lot of that stuff is not useful.
That was
a lot of it's not.
That's what else I was going to do. Do you feel like you can also not worry about certain things and still move forward? Or do you have to get comfortable?
Going through
become
the menu
comfortable
system?
With kind of everything that's there.
You do, yeah.
Okay.
You do save useful stuff in there, like potions and things like that. But weapon-wise, anytime you upgrade, you don't want to go back and use your old shit.
You don't need potions
like a shield. You don't need a leather shield.
And you can't sell those things back.
You can sell stuff.
You can.
Yeah, you can sell stuff. But it's a pain in the ass going to the library because you have to go through a whole fucking stage to go see this guy. You know, and then you have to get out of there and the books are flying off the shelves.
There's a warp. You can go right back to him.
There is, but you can't get to him. You have to. You're still outside, so you still have to go through the fucking library. You know what I mean?
Well, it does get easier. Like Metroid, there's a lot of sequence breaking in this game.
Yeah,
and it was. I don't know if it's all fuck ups or like they didn't think that people would get certain things in certain orders. But you can skip a lot. Like when you get certain forms, there's the wolf form.
Okay.
That doesn't lose momentum when you run.
Haven't gotten there yet.
There's the bat form where you can fly. In fact, you can zoom like a jet and get into places you're not supposed to get.
Right.
The double jump helps with that too. So you can be like the zooming and the double jump at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the mist. The mist is required to get through grates, like those cages you have to go through. You're also, I believe you're invincible when you're mist too.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, there's lots of ways to move around in the game and break stuff.
Yeah.
In that type of order. The thing that is, to me, the most amazing about the game is that you are so overpowered so quickly in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get the magic that is, I don't remember the name. It's like the shield stone or something like that, where you have like, it's a magic where this guy who's like a giant knight who has like two swords that swing back and forth.
Mm.
Once you get that, every boss in the game is a cakewalk. Mm-hmm. You just destroy the two magics and you'll fuck anyone up. because if they get stuck in a corner, they can't move, and they just get hit like six times with these giant imaginary blades that fly around. Mm. So you can get very overpowered in the game. It is probably one of the easiest Castlevania games I've ever played.
Characters and bad guys that you thought you were scared, you know, to fight before. Mm-hmm. And every time you walked in a room, you were like, oh, fuck these fucking guys. You get to a certain point where now you're like, I don't give a fuck. You just walk up and hit them one or two times and they're dead. You know?
Rate the crypticness on this one.
It's not as cryptic as Metroid.
Do you feel like you can... Okay, it's not as the original Metroid.
Yeah, it's... Nintendo is cryptic.
Do you... Okay, do you need a... Can you get through it without a guide or the internet?
I would argue...
I'm trying.
Are you?
You'd have to scour the entire... See, here's the thing. Without getting too much... I don't know if we want to get into spoilers, since most of us haven't beaten the whole thing. Mm. The game is only half the game. If you don't explore and find the three magic MacGuffins, okay?
Which is ridiculous.
You need three... I don't want to... You want me to tell you what they are?
It does. You know what? At this point, Rory, I'll probably forget. So go ahead.
You need two rings. You need a silver ring and a gold ring that you get in different parts of the castle in different wings. Mm-hmm. And once you have them, you can go back to the center clock in the middle of the castle. And that opens up... When its clock strikes midnight, you can go down and you meet Maria, who's also from Dracula X Chino Rondo, okay? She's like a... Kind of like a vampire hunter too, okay? You meet her and she gives you another MacGuffin, the Holy Glasses. The Holy Glasses allow you to see Richter, who's the hero from the first, the TurboGrafx game. You find out if you fight him without all the magic MacGuffins,
Richter?
The game's over. Yes, the game's over. Mm-hmm. Because Richter, for some reason, the story, Richter's evil now for some reason. He's taken over Dracula's castle. Nobody knows why. Mm-hmm. And he's like the bad guy and he sends other bad guys to attack you. Like when you go in the Colosseum, you fight a werewolf and the Minotaur. And he's in the background being like, hey, I'm a jackass now. And then, you know, but again, you use like that shield stone or whatever it is, and you can kill those guys like in like two hits. Like it's ridiculous. Because they're invincible. They don't move during the speech. It's like a bug. Like they don't move during that speech that Richter gives, but if you skip it, they still don't move. So you can just like wail on them and fucking like kick their ass. Mm. If you do have the Holy Glasses and, if you don't have the Holy Glasses and you fight Richter at the end of the first castle, you kill him and then the game's over because you actually didn't do the real ending. And that's very ballsy for a game to gate off half of its content.
Wait, you can't go back?
No.
So wait, so would you have to start everything over again?
I believe you could load
you could load a previous save.
This game does have a save. Yeah, okay. Remember, it's PlayStation 1, so it does have memory cards.
Right.
If you do have the magic, the Holy Glasses, then you can see that he's being controlled by one of the bad guys from the other one. His name's Shaft. He's like an evil wizard. Mm-hmm. And like, you see like a crystal ball flying behind him and like the wizard's behind him, like controlling the crystal ball. You attack the crystal ball and not Richter because you don't want to kill Richter. Then the game, he tells you basically, oh, I was being controlled. I'm not really an asshole. I'm still cool. Because Richter's a Belmont. So why would the Belmonts want to take over for Dracula?
Did you figure this shit out, or were you Googling shit?
Oh, I Googled stuff.
Okay, I was going to say, Eric, you got pretty far in this game, too.
Yeah.
Were you Googling stuff as well?
I did, but what's helpful is you don't have to Google everything. You're saying, how cryptic is it, and how hard is it to find things? When you walk into a room, on the map, it shows you the whole space of the room.
Okay.
And it has blacked out the parts that you haven't gotten to yet. So, they're hiding shit in those blacked out parts. It's like, okay, well, what do I do now? But I see that this part's blacked out. Well, let me fly up there with my bat form and see what's up there. And there's almost always shit hiding in the ceiling.
Okay.
But the map is like a Super Metroid or Metroid.
It's not.
It doesn't tell
all
you
that helpful.
It's just blocks. No,
the map is just
blocks. Different color. Blocks.
But it shows you where you've been and where you haven't been, which is very helpful.
It's huge. Yeah, that is a lot.
But if you're not going by a guide, it's pretty cryptic.
Oh, yeah.
That clock Rory's talking about.
Yeah, I never would have got that without a guide.
Dude, I was walking through one time. I was through there probably 20 times, and all of a sudden I'm walking through and the clock
you need
goes
the rings.
And changes. I'm what the fuck was that? And then a passage opened up.
If you rate Simon's Quest as a crypticness of 10, which I think most of us would agree, correct?
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what would Symphony of the Night be? Like a 4? 5?
6? Yeah. 7?
Yeah. Really, that high? 6. Okay.
It still has this thing. If you explore every inch of the castle, you'll find the rings, and the clock is in the middle of the freaking castle. You'll walk through with the rings eventually.
You walk by the clock 1,000 times.
All the time.
You'll eventually figure it out.
Okay.
So you find Maria again, you get the Holy Glasses, you find out that...
It's just a matter of how much time you're willing to explore shit.
Sure.
Okay.
And again, experiment. The secret's breaking, if you knew where to go, and depending on what form you have, like, you could cheese so much of that game with the bat. Because you can shoot. You can actually shoot in a trajectory and go the entire screen, like an entire room.
Yeah.
Huge ones.
Hmm.
So it's pretty cool. Plus, you also get familiars, little characters that help you, like the fairy that always gives you life,
right?
Or the devil, I think he's a demon, who like has like he like steals people's life.
Yes, he hits people.
Or you have the flying sword that there's a magic sword that follows you around and smacks people.
I love that.
That's
one.
Very powerful.
Yeah, it is.
I think there's one more. There's the skull. There's a flaming skull that follows you around too.
Okay, I never used that one.
Fairy is probably the best one because it always gives you life.
Yeah.
So you're basically, not only are you getting more and more powerful, you're almost fucking invincible because the fairy always gives you life.
Filling you up, yeah.
So.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But it's not, I mean, the point of the game isn't to punish you. Like, the first one, the Chino Rondo, that game punishes the shit out of you. That's a tough fucking game. That is a tough game.
They usually all are. The Castlevania games, especially the early ones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not even just talking about NES games. Like, Bloodlines is hard, and the, you know, Super Castlevania is hard. It's okay.
They're all cryptic, but a lot of the gameplay is really hard in most Castlevania games where it's hard to even get to the next room sometimes. This game's not like that. I mean, you could pretty much, you know, three times is like the most times I would die just to get through a room.
A lot of the difficulty in the earlier Castlevanias is just because you're so stiff as a Belmont. Like, the Belmonts have, like, sticks up their ass and they move like shit. Like, they move like you and I would if we were vampire hunters.
Inferior fucking humans.
But Alucard moves like an otherworldly vampire. He's like graceful with the animations and the fluids.
Yeah, the animations are gorgeous in this.
You feel like you're not a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have that ability to float everywhere and put yourself where you want to go in that.
He looks like a fucking superhero when he fucking moves.
The way he runs, like, with his, like, his whole upper torso, forward, like he's constantly.
He kind of looks
ready
like
to fall forward.
The Chappelle Show with Rick James. No, it's Prince. He kind of looks like Prince, where it's shirts versus blouses,
and then we all had pancakes.
And then we all had pancakes.
Here's your pancakes, bitch.
Here's your pancakes, bitch. Quickly, the game is actually set 300 years after Castlevania 3 ends. Just give you a perspective of the timeline in the Castlevanias, and
oh, that's right. Because what's the lore in that, like, Dracula appears every,
I think it's every,
is it 300 years?
I think it's 100 or 300. It's not like every weekend. Like, he goes away for a while.
Yeah, because Castlevania 3 is the prequel to the first one, and then the second one is the sequel.
Correct. Quickly, the bosses in that game are what I think set it apart. Like, the beautiful boss work and the sprites that they have. There's some very memorable bosses that I wrote down. Death. One of his forms is a fucking dinosaur. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's like, why?
Like, death is usually...
Because.
Just because, fuck it.
Death is usually one
we haven't used the dinosaur as an enemy yet in this game.
He's one of the hardest bosses in almost all the Castlevanias.
Right. Yeah. He is tough.
And he's also pretty cool looking to begin with. Like, he's like an Iron Maiden, like, kind of cover.
Yeah, he's cool.
But he turns into a dinosaur, which is fucking awesome. Everybody, I don't know the name of it. The giant ball of flesh that drops other corpses as you beat it.
Oh, yeah. That
I don't know
wild.
Its name. And you have wild. To, like, knock off enough corpses.
Yeah,
you
beat me up.
Man,
are we fucking this up? Well,
No, because I still don't know how to do it. You know
exactly.
I mean? So when I see them, I'm going to be like, all right, cool.
You fight Frankenstein's monster, who, like, he has a giant hammer.
Just to go back to that that corpse dropping, that was on a watch. I don't know if you guys have ever watched the Watch Mojo shit on YouTube, where they have, like, a top 10 list for everything. They'll have, the top 10 doorknobs.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so... I think that boss was on their list of, like, freakiest bosses or
kinda
something
gross.
Like that. Yeah.
There's naked zombies falling off him.
Because he's a giant ball of bodies, correct?
Yeah, he's a ball of bodies. Frankenstein monster has a giant hammer, so it's nice to fight Frankenstein in all the games. You fight a Medusa again. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, Medusa.
Always. Heads. How's Medusa in this game?
She's
is she what?
She's a puss.
Yeah, she's always a puss.
Once you have that shield stone.
Those snakes.
Oh, snakes.
Dude, the Medusa heads that turn you to stone are a pain in the ass.
Oh, fuck those things.
You know, they come in, like, I don't know, maybe just one in every 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then you'll bump the fuck into one.
Pain
in the ass.
I hate that.
You actually fight the three Castlevania, three side characters against. You fight Trevor and Grant,
Sypha?
And Sypha, and then another Alucard, like another doppelganger. That's pretty awesome. Oh, at once. You fight all three at once.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
That's cool how they, like,
touch back,
kind of throw back to that, those old games.
You fight a succubus, which, again, like the Darkstalkers theories. And they actually reenact. This is funny because I didn't... You ever watch the Netflix Castlevania show?
I saw the first episode.
The first episode where they burn Dracula's wife or girlfriend.
Right.
They actually reenact that in this game.
Really?
I had no idea that that's where that was from.
Huh.
Had no idea.
Huh.
Because Alucard's mom was apparently burned at the stake, just like the beginning of I never put that one and one together. Like, I guess
fucking
I was
witch.
Just, it was just young. And then like, there's the hanging corpse, the Beetlebub or Beelzebub.
Beelzebub?
I don't think that's, I think it's Beetlebub. Oh, his okay. name is.
Was this the last 2D Castlevania? You know what I mean? Side scroller?
No, there's Game Boy Advance games. There's okay, well, multiple. Game Boy Advance,
there are so many like
ripoffs.
After I have never played, and this game I've dabbled in.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I've messed around with here and there. So I, you know how you are with Super Metroid, where you put it in, you play it for a couple hours. That's how I am with this game. Yeah. Like every once in a while, I pop it in, which is crazy. I just feel like I want to beat the third game and the fourth game before I get in. I don't know. It's a stupid thing, but anyway, this was the last Castlevania that I've ever tried, so I don't even, there's a shitload, so I don't know if any of them are 2D, or if they're all 3D.
The Game Boy Advance ones are, they use the same Metroid.
But even the ones on like the DS.
Well, we don't have
you know?
I don't have a DS.
But do we even know what they're even fucking like?
No, I don't know. Is it a continuation or anything?
I would assume
they're not 3D. They're like this.
Yeah.
They're like, they're 2D?
They're like, maybe they're not. Yeah, they're 2D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all of them are. Okay. The Game Boy Advance has like four or five games that are just like this.
Castlevania just doesn't seem right in 3D.
No,
it doesn't.
It's a platformer, and it always should be.
How do you feel about the mechanic where the castle flips upside down?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's nothing really different after that, though. It's pretty much
it's just more awkward. It's more obnoxious game, to get places.
Right.
So I was gonna say without playing it, it sounds like gimmicky and obnoxious. But
remember,
like
1997. You got to think back in 1997. Was it gimmicky then? I don't think so.
I don't know.
No, I don't really think so.
No.
But I know in the third game when I have to go back down that clock tower after defeating and getting Grant, it was a bitch. It was a fucking, it was really annoying.
It's torture.
So I don't know. Was it okay in 97? I don't know. When did you play this? As an adult or back in the day?
Back then, and I played it as an adult and I beat the whole thing. It's been a while. But that's a mechanic that either people really like or they don't. It's a way to save space on a disc because now you don't have to make new maps. You just flip them the fuck upside down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ingenious in a developer software kind of way. Like,
is it confusing?
Oh, absolutely.
The thing is, I would have felt, and I didn't pay for it, obviously, but I would have felt like I got my money's worth had the end of the game been after the first half of the castle.
Really?
I would have felt like, okay, that was really good. That was worth my dough.
You
so
may
it's
have
really
never
just
known.
A bonus. The second part, like Roy says, you may never know.
May have never known unless somebody told you, oh, you didn't get the holy glasses? Well, then you only played half the game.
Son of a bitch! Right.
And how much longer does the game take once it flips? Like, is the game double?
You have to find four or five more. It's like Dracula's curse. You have to find parts of Dracula to build him, like his tooth, his heart, his nail. Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
So it has that mechanic. You have to find the four or five bosses to get the parts for Dracula. And then you fight Dracula again, and he's like this weird, fat, disgusting monster.
Yeah.
He's not like a bat or like the Dracula that we all know that shoots like the flame fireballs from like 1 and 3.
Out of like his cape.
He's like this disgusting monster with like five heads. It's gross.
Mm. All right.
He's like, let me. This game has hard voice acting. Like everything from that era does.
Yeah.
But like everybody knows the joke. What is a man?
Right,
let me show you my true form.
it's over the top.
You know what? What's crazy though? Besides the horrible voice acting, it's recorded really piss poor. Mm-hmm. Like there's like an echo, which is crazy to me. I mean, you had the ability. Bathroom. You had the ability to make it somewhat sound well, but it sounds like everyone's like, "What is a man?" It's like everyone's in the background.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's pretty bad. Probably the only thing bad about the game, I think.
Yeah.
It's a product of this time, though, with the shitty voice acting. Like, they didn't know. No. It's like, you know, back in the, if you ever watch, like, an old movie from, like, the 40s or something, like, they're always overacting.
Uh-huh.
Sure. And it's because they were so used to acting on stage. So that's how they knew to act. And then Marlon Brando came along and started acting for the camera, and it was more subtle acting. It was more real acting.
Yep.
And that's how it is with, like, old voiceovers with game. They didn't know how to approach it.
Yeah. Like, a lot of them were just people they knew that said, hey, you want to be in my video game? I need someone else's voice.
Yeah.
I'm already three characters in this game.
Kind of like this podcast.
TurboGrafx games are notorious.
Hey, want to be on a podcast, Eric? Okay.
We're not going to pay you and we're not going to feed you.
Right.
You still in?
And we all hate you. Okay, I'm
so
in.
Where do you think this game ranks on, you know, among Castlevania, the franchise?
It's usually, any list you look at, it's
Many
always number
it's
one.
The best.
Okay.
Many people feel that this is the best or one of the Game Boy Advance ones that use the formula.
Okay.
I feel that the prequel to this one, the Akimaja or Dracula X is the best Castlevania game.
No. Why do I get the feeling you're the only one that's going to think that?
I don't think that's true.
No, you think I'll like it better than this game? Than Symphony of the Night?
Well, you might, because you're going to have to play that soon.
I know.
It's a traditional Castlevania linear game for
I already like this one better than it then.
No, you'll stay.
It's too hard.
Yeah, you'll our next episode, we're going to take a week off in between this and our next show. But our next show, we're going to review that game.
We're going to review it.
Rondo of Blood, the PC Engine.
Tukabuka.
So we're going to have to play that. I'm going to have to play that on a week
Dracula X, Tukabuka.
It's Castlevania. It should be, though. It's October.
Yeah.
October should be filled with Castlevania shit.
And not only are we doing Castlevania on that episode,
right.
We're also going to talk about our top 10 games that should be played around Halloween.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were going to call it Halloween-style games. Yeah, we were going to call it Scariest Games, and it's like, well, none of these games are not scary. Yeah. They're just, they're scary themed.
Right. We'll have some scary ones on there, though.
Probably will.
No, I will.
Yeah.
Halloween, what do you like to sit down and play?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to talk about.
What would you rank this game in terms of 1 to 5? 1 being shit, 5 being awesome.
I would give this a 5. Really? This reminds me so much of Super Metroid.
It's the best Castlevania game.
Really, Rory?
I would give it, without getting into fractions, I'd give it a 4.
No
fractions. My issue with this is that I don't like the Metroid formula.
Mm.
And I feel
that... The exploration?
That's a shame.
Yeah, but there's a difference between exploring and backtracking. And this game has quite a bit of backtracking.
A lot.
And to me, there's so many empty corridors.
Oh, okay.
The formula for this game, in a nutshell, is you go into a place, and it has a long hallway, and there's only three enemies, and they're all the same enemy. And then you leave. And then you go in a different one, and it has three new enemies, and it's a big, empty hallway for the most part. And then you have to backtrack the fuck out once you find one of the magic MacGuffins. So it's just like, God damn it, I don't want to do this.
But but you're still giving it a 4. It's still pretty high.
It's still a solid game. It's definitely, I will dust this thing off maybe once every couple of years and go through it. It isn't an especially long game, especially if you know what you're doing or you're using a map.
How long?
An actual map.
10 hours?
I would think between 10 and 15 hours, depending on how much stuff you want to find.
Rory was saying before the show, he watched a video, a guy did a speed run, a half hour?
It was about 35 minutes.
Oh,
well, again, he knows exactly where to go, and he cheeses the shit out of it with the bat form, where he's just zipping along.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Every time you go to a save spot, you refill your life and your mana, which you need to do, like, just the transformations and fly across the screen.
And that kind of is what separates this difficulty-wise from the other Castlevania games I played.
There's no pork chops in the wall on this one.
No. But, I mean, But the fact that, I don't know, in the other games when you save, does it jump up all your health and your mana, like, all the way?
I don't believe you can save.
I don't think so either. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what makes this, difficulty-wise, it separates it, which is why I like it better.
Yeah, the fact that you can walk into the room real fast,
right?
Get all your life back,
right?
You know what I mean? All your hearts. You don't get hearts.
Were you into the NES ones?
I played it. I wasn't really into it. It was okay.
Right. And Ryan, you weren't really into the NES ones. Rory was. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I liked them, I wasn't really into them. This one.
I like them, but this one is it's just a whole new level of video games.
Yeah, I guess it's not really fair.
No, it's almost not fair. If you ask me for the time, I think Castlevania was a solid game for its time, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were to ask me back in the day, NES on NES, Castlevania 3 or Super Mario Brothers, I'd pick Mario Brothers any day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Over Castlevania? So,
right.
Fucking right.
Well, wait.
Hold on, what are we talking about here?
The first, I know,
that's why I wasn't really into Castlevania.
We went a little weird.
Because I had so many other options out there.
But Super Mario Bros., the first one over Castlevania 3?
No, 3.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm going Castlevania 3.
I'm taking Super Mario.
100 times over.
Yeah, I'm taking Super Mario.
Now, Mario 2, I'm taking Mario 2.
Still Castlevania 3.
Jeez.
I gotta throw Rutabagas.
Yeah, fuck.
All right. Well, guys, what do you say we get the hell out of here?
All right, man.
All right. You can find us on Facebook, Emulate This, on Twitter, at Emulate This, and email us at EmulateThis@Outlook.com.
It was nice having an early show.
It was. It feels really good, man.
Water my cabbages.
Gel your jelly or your mayo, whatever you gotta do.
Make my artichokes and jelly.
Uh-huh. All right.
I gotta babysit.
Oh, it's not babysitting when it's your own kid.
Bubble cup a cup of cuppies. Bubble cup a cup of cuppies.
All right. See you next time around Halloween.
Peace.
No time for small talk. Is the person who controlled you in that castle over there?